Hello, my name is Mylene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. As we know, grassroots activism is very powerful. We are featuring an organization, a grassroots vegan educational organization that has been in operation since 1990. Prior to that, 5 years prior to that, the spark that ignited this was a little, quote-unquote, broiler, was a little hen named Viva. This grassroots organization is so powerful that just 3 months ago, we're broadcasting now in February 2026, they had a truck driving around the capital of the United States for 8 hours a day, and the truck had the message of, "Go vegan." This group, UPC, also contracted Go Vegan ads on 50 bus shelters in Las Vegas, Nevada, with the same message of Go Vegan. Throughout the entire month of November 2025, Washington, D.C., and Las Vegas. Box truck with the passenger side, the driver's side, and the back panel. Large, large print of Go Vegan. And this message is so important because it's a message of kindness, compassion, justice, fairness, and nonviolence, which is a message that is ignored, censored, and suppressed by every institution, religion, education, and government. This organization does a lot of campaigns, and it's also a sanctuary based in Machapongo, Virginia. So we'll be hearing all about that and more. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of freedom, peace, justice, safety, wellness, health, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. I am very, very grateful that we are joined by Leach and Chow and Franklin Wade of United Poultry Concerns. Leach and Chow is the president of UPC, and Franklin Wade is the vice president of UPC, United Poultry Concerns. Wow, I'm so thrilled. Thank you, Leach, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you for having us here.
Thank you, Franklin.
It's my pleasure.
Well, Franklin, can you please tell us about UPC, United Poultry Concerns, in Machapongo, Virginia?
Yes, United Poultry Concerns was founded in 1990 by Karen Davis. And we promote the compassionate and respectful treatment of domestic fowl, which includes chickens, ducks, and turkeys. And prior to starting United Poultry Concerns, she was an English professor at the University of Maryland. And actually, that is where I met her when she became a sponsor to the newly formed Animal Rights Club just before 1990. It was in 1989. Karen credits a little chicken that she met when she was renting a property in Maryland at the time, and the landlady had a chicken house at the end of the property that she happened to notice that was hidden behind the trees, and this little chicken got left behind when they cleared it out. She heard some peeping, so she found that chicken, and she rescued that chicken. And she eventually gave that chicken a home, and she lived about 6 months, and she got to know chickens, and that's kind of was the inspiration for her to start United Poultry Concerns, and eventually a sanctuary, and become a voice for these birds.
In memory of Karen Davis, and she passed away in 2023 in November, and we're here today because of her and the wealth of knowledge that she provided for us, and we are able to continue her work, and that's our commitment to the birds and also to Karen.
For our listeners here, I would like to insert Dr. Karen Davis, our Vegan Nation interview on May 1st, 2015.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. Well, we urge people, and we urge people in our movement to not talk about the problem being factory farming, but to say it's animal farming, because the real problem is animal farming itself. And really, when you get down to it, all animal farming is factory farming. That is, the attitude towards the animals being farmed on the part of farmers or whoever is exploiting them for money and consumption really does not have the kind of attitude and view of them that we would call compassionate and truly respectful and humane. And the attitude of farming since time immemorial towards animals being raised for human consumption, whether on the farm or being sold to the local town or cities far and wide, has always been that these animals are brought into the world to be food for us. They were given to us by God or whoever as a resource. And that attitude translates into behaviors that include mutilating them in various ways, mutilating their genitals, in the case of chickens, mutilating their beaks. Mutilations go back way back in history. It's a long story, whether it's chickens or other animals. It's a long story, and it isn't just Western capitalism starting in the 20th century, but the whole history of animal farming is not a picture of happiness, really, when you get down to it. And slaughter is very cruel and very painful. Throat cutting is not a painless operation by any means. It's horrifying. It's cruel because the neck of the birds is full of pain receptors and other kinds of receptors that experience a cold knife cutting in through the skin, through the flesh, into the trachea and the blood vessels and so on. Or they may be gassed with carbon dioxide. They may be thrown 200 or 300 or 400 into these metal boxes, and then they shoot cold, freezing cold carbon dioxide gas into these metal boxes, and that actually freezes the birds, and it's a horrible death. As you know, and I hope most of your listeners know, that we do not need to eat eggs or any animal flesh or drink any animal's nursing milk in order to be healthy, and that we would be much better off without having those products in our bodies. And we always tell people that misery is not a health food. We want people, obviously, to stop eating chickens and stop eating their eggs, and we want people to be vegan and to choose an animal-free diet. But we also want people to incorporate activism.
And let's give a cluck and go vegan.
That's right. Give a cluck, go vegan. Thank you, Marlene.
I'd like to thank Dr. Karen Davis for joining us on Vegan Nation. I would like to say, rest in peace, Karen. February 4th, 1944, to November 4th, 2023.
We can lead healthy, happy and fulfilling lives without harming those who share this world with us. Why on earth wouldn't we? Since we can leave.
So for this interview, I'd love to focus on the education. So Leechin, could you please tell us some educational points about chickens?
Chickens, most people don't know, they evolved in the tropical forests of Southeast Asia and the foothills of Himalayan mountains, where chickens still live and thrive to this day. It's their world. You can imagine, it's just a lush green world that is very rich in sound, color, and vibrant activities. And even though, despite of thousands of years of domestication, and they are essentially the same jungle fowl of their ancestry, with the same craving for lush soil greens and trees, activities suited for the tropical forest that they originated from. And so in our sanctuary, when birds are rescued from a battery cage environment where they have never smelled fresh air, the sunlight, or being ever on the grass ever before, as soon as they come to our sanctuary, they knew exactly what to do. They fly into the trees in the bushes. They perch in trees, especially at night. So it's really fun to see toward the end of the day, the birds start going from lower branches to higher branches to even higher branches and ready for the night. It's a joy to see them like that, just being themselves. And chickens are super intelligent and they're strong with emotions and they have very devoted family ties. So the roosters, they're the protector of the flock. They watch over his little group of chickens and he will alert hens if he sees danger. And if he finds something really tasty for his family to share, he will call them out and watch over them to eat first before he takes a bite. So just amazing animals. Birds are as intelligent as mammals, and that the chicken is not an inferior species to be treated merely as a food source. And now I would love to share a story about a hen, a golden brown hen. Her name was Ruby. She became a foster mom to a little chick, tiny little chick called Ivy. And Ivy was rescued from a Purdue shed along with another chick. Her name was Oak, but unfortunately, days after her rescue, Oak passed away, but Ivy survived. So Ivy was brought to a sanctuary where Ruby was living at, and Ruby was being a little slow during that period of time. So she was in special care area and Ivy was being put in the same area. But very soon they found Ruby actually putting her wings over little Ivy and just protecting her. And Ivy grew. Now Ivy was from what they call a broiler shed. So these birds are grown for their meat. So they grow very big, very fast. And so very soon Ivy became bigger than Ruby, much bigger. Eventually, only her head would fit under Ruby's wings. But even then, she always seek out Ruby and try to snuggle up with her. And they became lifelong friends and just always sitting together, being together. And unfortunately, you know, Ivy passed away a year after she was rescued and due to a heart failure, which is very common for birds raised for meat. Chickens actually see infrared light. So that means they could see sunrise way before we do. And at our sanctuary, they start crowing at 3:30 and then once again at 5:30 because they know it's the day has begun and they want to announce to the world, hey, I am here, I'm doing well, and keep track of each other. How are you doing? So at the sanctuary, you would hear one rooster start crowing and then the other rooster will respond and then they will die. They become quiet and then later on, they will do that again.
What do you do for population control?
What we do is that we hard boil the eggs and we feed them back to the chickens because, you know, they've been bred to lay more eggs than their reproductive system can handle. You know, in the wild, they would only lay about two clutches of, you know, a couple dozen a year. And now, as you've seen what the industry has done to them, you know, like 250 eggs or more. So it's very hard on their system. And it takes a lot of calcium out of the body to make all those eggs. So we feed the eggs back to the chickens so they can get some of that calcium back. Obviously, we can't allow them to make more chickens because, you know, there are always more that need to be rescued.
Yeah, so our sanctuary people will go make sure every day, in addition to fresh water, fresh straw, they also check all everywhere to pick up the eggs and hard boil it and feed it back to them so that we could have room for the birds that really need, you know, a place, a sanctuary.
Thank you, Legion. And I appreciate your work at United Poultry Concerns, not only for your sanctuary, which is so fascinating, but also within your organization, both online as well as your person-to-person work and your poultry press. both the online edition and the hard copy edition, that you provide many, many recipes, vegan recipes, so that humanity can evolve and no longer exploit chickens. Thank you for this. Thank you. And I'd love to hear about turkeys.
Yes. So turkey is, again, amazing bird. Mother turkey shelters her poults at night for safety. Another thing is that the mother and the baby birds stay together for the first 5 months of the baby bird's life. And it's very unusual for these ground nesting birds, so chickens and turkeys, for the young ones to be separated from their parents.
One thing we like to share about turkeys is they're at home in every natural element, earth, air, and water. They can fly up to 50 miles per hour, run 12 miles per hour. So normally they like to walk. And they can even swim, even should the river be a mile in breadth, which John Jay Audubon noted in 1831.
And the young turkeys, they stay close to their mother 4 or 5 months before they venture off on their own. And they have excellent hearing and full color vision. So the newborns, when they come out, they immediately start making contacts, eye contacts with their mother and siblings. And this is part of their family bonding experience. But none of this chickens and turkeys on the farm, they never know these things. And here Franklin would like to read a poem by Karen Davis.
Yeah, the poem is entitled Chicken Dreaming, and it was written by Karen Davis. Ancestral memories in a metal broiler chicken shed. He sits in this house of feces and pain with thousands of others, all the same. Call it a triumph or call it insane. His eyes are burning. His liver is leaking. His legs are aching and lame. But he will be eaten with pleasure all the same. His nerves, bones, and tendons will be nuggets in a bucket chewed by a fan at a game. His wings, don't ask, will prove what it means to be a man like every other man and his brother, inane. His breast will water the mouth of a lady trying to lose weight with this lump on her plate. For this he was made for supper. Meanwhile, he dreams his impossible dream, ancestral memories of family and friends, of tropical forests, all rainy and green, from which he came to suffer like this. For a foul mouth of chicken bliss, Karen Davis.
We're listening to Franklin Wade, the Vice President of United Poultry Concerns, and we're also joined by Lee Chin Chow, the President of United Poultry Concerns, based in Machapongo, Virginia. You tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Franklin and Lee Chin. Chicken Song by Will Tuttle from his album Animal Songs. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We're continuing our conversation with Franklin Wade and Lee Chin Chow of United Poultry Concerns in Machapongo, Virginia.
So yeah, from birth, chickens and turkeys, they never know the comfort of a mother's wing or the joy of exploring the world with her. And at the hatchery, they throw away thousands of unwanted baby chicks every day, hundreds of millions every year. And at these farms where they raise meat chickens, these birds are painfully lame and obese. They cannot exercise their natural desire to walk, run, or perch. And they're just too crowded to even move, even if they tried. And in the egg-laying hens are kept in these filthy cages or crowded in these so-called cage-free buildings. They're filled with feces and grinding machines.
The sensitive beaks of turkeys and egg-laying hens, they burn them off either with a laser or with a knife as soon as they're born. We've even seen turkeys that are suppliers for free-range organic, they're also debeaked. So another problem that we've noticed that we like to report on is because of the turkey, they've become so heavy because people want heavier birds. They actually cannot reproduce naturally. So they are what they call sexually molested. They masturbate them. That's how they impregnate them.
What we do to these birds is just horrible, unjustifiable. And for both chickens and turkeys, at very young age, for chickens is 42 days, they're scared and they're injured. And they're just put into crates and put it onto the transport truck and they're going to the slaughterhouse. And their life is, all they've ever known life is suffering, is fear, it's pain. And for those who eat them, they eat this endless recycling of violence. And the birds, when they get to the slaughterhouse, they're being hung upside down, one next to each other, on a conveyor belt. And so a former chicken slaughterhouse worker has said that sometimes they hide their faces in the feathers of the bird that's being hung upside down beside them. And they're just so scared. And he says, you can tell by them looking at you, they are scared to death. And they go through excruciating abuse on these processing line while still fully conscious. They are being dragged through electric shock water that only renders them just paralyzed, immobile, but they're not stunned. They are fully aware. And this is intentional by the industry to keep them alive through the entire slaughter process so they could continue to, their heart continue to beat and pump out the blood. And then they would be going through this just hot water bath. Many of them will be scalded alive. This is to loosen up the feather so they could pull them off. 9 billion just in the United States alone of these birds being slaughtered for food, and millions more suffer in laboratories. And this is why UPC, why Karen started all this. And started UPC, and this is why we're dedicated in making a future in which every chicken, turkey, and duck has a voice that is heard. And as part of our mission, we have a beautiful sanctuary in Macho Pongo, Virginia. We have the sanctuary for the chickens and other domestic birds to provide them a home they could live out the rest of their natural life.
I just want to say one slogan that I encountered early on when Karen was just getting started, and I'm thinking about that slogan after hearing Legion's description of the electrocuting of the birds, and then before their necks get cut, and then the scalding tank. And that the slogan was, "The moment you turn your back, you are involved." And that kind of always stuck with me. But I just want to share about how much our chickens love spaghetti and they love greens. And whenever we go out with spaghetti, they come running and they try to grab some. And it's just a festive event. And we just love to see that.
They chase each other for it. And it's a joy to watch them, and including ducks. Ducks could eat spaghettis as well. It's a joy for us to watch them. And I'm sure it's a joy for them to eat the spaghetti and the greens.
Thank you, Leechin. Thank you very much. Thank you, Franklin.
Thank you for having us.
We're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional information can you leave with our listeners?
We'd like people to feel free to visit our website, www.upc-online.org. We have a lot of more information than this. We have action alerts on how they can help chickens and turkeys and other birds, and they can learn about our sanctuary birds. And we have a lot of good vegan recipes, as you mentioned earlier.
Yes, I try them out I will not put a recipe on our poultry press if I haven't tried it.
Oh, great. Thank you. Now, what about so many people advocating the slavery of chickens to use as backyard hens, backyard eggs? Can you please address that?
Yeah, actually, when people order their chicks, they're still ordering these chicks from industrial hatcheries. They're being mailed. These chicks, the chicks are being mailed to them in cardboard boxes. So people think, oh, backyard chicken, you know, it's, you know, small scale, but they are still feeding into this huge industrial process or system. We believe that if people really want to provide a good home for these birds, is to become a sanctuary. It could become a micro sanctuary. Now, if you want to have birds in your backyard, you do it for them. Anything else you want to add, Franklin?
Oh, yeah, just that. Yeah, we want people to rescue chickens. So, you know, you can rescue a chicken, and that makes a difference, you know, and then provide a little micro sanctuary, as Leechin said.
And even the ones that they get chickens from their neighbor farmers, you know, I want to ask them, you know, the farmers, when they have these baby chicks, half of them are males too. What do they do with these male chicks, right? So it doesn't matter if it's a big hatchery or small farm, is that people want to raise chickens for eggs, only want hens. What happened to the roosters? No one ever talk about the roosters, you know, and that's definitely a problem.
Thank you very much. Yes, it's great to know what the vegan evolution revolution, that humans have no need to be consuming the flesh of chickens and turkeys and ducks or their ovulatory secretions either. And like you said, Franklin, they would normally have a couple clutches a year instead of this horrendous reality now of 200 or more eggs per year because of humans' greed. I'll say it, greed. That's what I think.
Absolutely.
This is also a lot of the egg-laying hens at our sanctuary. We have to watch out for those kind of situations because it's not natural for them, but they're genetically bred to do that, is that they have these, their ovaries will like laying too much eggs, pushing, keep on pushing out eggs, and their internal system ovaries sometimes come out, or they have eggs they would just stuck in their system. It puts so much strain on their body, and this is our doing. And this is why we all need to become vegans.
Thank you, Leechin. Yes, power for sure.
Yeah, that the whole backyard flock thing, that is a common, even at Veg Fest, you know, when we're tabling at a Veg Fest, people are coming up. What about this? I want to do this. Oh, let's think about this here.
Right. Thank you for your noble, important work for all these decades now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Thanks also to Will Tuttle for his album Animal Songs and the Chicken Song, Turkey Song, and Duck Song. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation. This is Marlena, Massachusetts, wishing you all a lovely, peaceful, joyous day.